سوره يوسف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. Surah Yusuf was revealed in the last part of the Meccan period when the Quraysh were debating whether to kill, banish or imprison the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So once in a gathering, upon Jewish instigation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked why Bani Israel left Palestine and went to Egypt, since Arabs had no knowledge of this. At that very assembly, this amazing surah was revealed. Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses of the clear book. Indeed, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, in order that you may use your intelligence. People sometimes wonder the reason that the Quran was revealed in Arabic. Of all languages in the world, Arabic is the most amazing and the most intellectually stimulating. One word can contain up to 80 different meanings. So this Quran alone had to be revealed in Arabic because Arabic alone could convey the subtler shades of meaning found in the word of the Creator. Allah says, we relate to you the best of stories through our revelations to you of this Quran. And before this, you were among those who knew nothing about it. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ 11 كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Remember, when Yusuf said to his father, O my father, indeed I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrating themselves to me. He sees a dream, which he relates to his father. So his father is Yaqub alayhi salam and also a prophet. So his father realizes this is a prediction of prophethood that would be granted to Yusuf alayhi salam. And his father also knows of the jealousy that Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers bear him, so he warns him. The father said, O my son, do not relate your vision to your brothers, lest they should arrange a plot against you. Indeed, shaitan is for man an open enemy. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. Thus will your Lord choose you and teach you the insight of matters and perfect his favor on you and on the offspring of Yaqub, as he perfected it on your fathers Ibrahim and Ishaq aforetime. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Indeed your Lord is all-knowing, all-wise. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed in Yusuf and his brothers there were signs for those who asked. Now when we read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we learn many lessons. And Allah says, when Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers said, truly Yusuf and his brother are dearer to our father than we, while we are a strong group, really our father is in a clear error. Kill Yusuf or cast him out to some other land, so that the favor of your father may be given to you alone, and after that you will become righteous people. Now if you remember, when Cain and Abel had that dispute, this was Cain's argument as well. When Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected, Cain didn't start analyzing himself and wondering, where did I go wrong? He said, لأقتلنك, I will kill you. So in the same way, Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers didn't start analyzing themselves and thinking, well, why does our father love Yusuf and Binyamin more? So they put the blame on the father and they say, kill Yusuf or cast him out to some other land, so that the favor of your father may be given to you alone, and after that you will become righteous people. Now we learn firstly that envy is found amongst Muslims as well. These are Muslim sons of a Muslim prophet. They're not mushrikeen. They're not kafirin. But look at their evil plans. Why? Because of envy. And shaitan too was envious of Adam alayhi salam. And then they say, look, after we've killed Yusuf and we've done what we want, then we'll repent to Allah. And sometimes when we feel like sinning, that's what we say. Oh, let me have a good time for some years and then I'll turn to Allah. Then I'll go for Hajj and Umrah. One from among the brothers said, do not kill Yusuf, but if you must do something, throw him down to the bottom of a well. He will be picked up by some caravan of travelers. They said, O our father, why don't you trust us with Yusuf, though we are indeed his well-wishers? They start by putting their father on the defensive, because obviously they bear evil within themselves. Send him with us tomorrow to enjoy himself and play, and indeed we will take care of him. Yaqub alayhi salam said, truly it saddens me that you should take him away. I fear lest a wolf should devour him while you are careless of him. Now this is Yaqub alayhi salam's greatness. He knows fully that the sons are jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam, but he doesn't come up with that reason. No, instead he says, tactfully, I'm afraid that, you know, what if a wolf should devour him? They said, if a wolf devours him, while we are a strong group to guard him, then surely we are the losers. Then when they took him away and they all agreed to throw him down to the bottom of the well, they did so. And we revealed to him, indeed you shall one day inform them of this their affair when they do not even know you. Now imagine Yusuf alayhi salam's feelings at that time. He's a child, maybe 12, 13 years old. And to hear his own brothers say suddenly that we're going to throw him at the bottom of a well. But Allah doesn't tell us what his response is, what he says. He's just submitting himself to Allah's will. And Allah reassures him and says, one day you will tell your brothers of this affair when they do not even know you. And they came to their father in the early part of the night weeping. Now they come and act a big scene. They said, oh, our father, we went racing with one another and left Yusuf by our belongings and a wolf devoured him. But you will never believe us, even when we speak the truth. And they brought his shirt stained with false blood. Now imagine Yaqub alayhi salam's reaction when his deepest fears come to pass and he sees his sons returning without Yusuf alayhi salam. What is his response? قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, no, but your own selves have made up a tale. He's not deceived. He's not taken in by their statement. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So I will do most beautiful sabr. This is the theme of Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us sabr. Now what exactly is sabr? Sabr has three connotations. There are active forms of sabr, whereby we persist in doing what is right. We constantly abstain from what is wrong. And the third aspect of sabr is to be patient at times of difficulty. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. Sabr is at the first shock. The first news you receive, at that point if you can control yourself, that's sabr. Not that you weep and lament and complain and after screaming hysterically for 5-7 days or months or years, then you say, well, now I'll just do sabr. That's not sabr. Sabr is your instant reaction. What is his instant reaction? He realizes what his sons have done. But he knows it's of no use to ask them. So he says, for sabrun jameel, I will do sabr. And not grudging sabr, not resentful sabr. Well, I have to do this now. There are no choices for me. I will do beautiful sabr. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah is the one whose help can be sought against that which you describe. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارًا. Now, throughout this surah, we find two themes. We find the theme of Yaqub alayhi salam sabr, and we find the theme of Yusuf alayhi salam sabr. Both are suffering. Both are going through trials. Yusuf alayhi salam even more so. One is a father grieving for his child, and one is a child who's been thrust into misfortune. There came a caravan of travelers. Allah doesn't tell us after how many days this caravan comes. Maybe he spent several days in that well. Now how would we feel? We can't even endure 5 minutes in a traffic jam. How would we feel thrown into a well like this by his own brothers? But Allah doesn't tell us. This is again sabr on Yusuf alayhi salam's part. There came a caravan of travelers. They sent their water drawer and he let down his bucket into the well. He said, Ya Bushra, Hazra Ghulam, what good news, here is a boy. Now when Yusuf alayhi salam saw that man, maybe he thought that now this man will save me. But what does that man do? So they hid him as merchandise. In other words, they sell him into slavery. Trial upon trial. He is a prophet's son. He knows that his father has told him one day he too will become a prophet. A beloved child, thrown into a well by his brothers and then bought and sold into slavery. And Allah was the all-knower of what they did. Why does Allah say this here? Sometimes when we're suffering, people say, oh, where is Allah? Doesn't Allah know what's happening to me? But look at Yusuf alayhi salam's sabr. Not one word of complaint. Not one word of reproach do we hear. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. They sold him for a little price. They sold a prophet of Allah for a little price. For a few dirhams. And they were of those who regarded him insignificant. Now what happens? The man from Egypt who bought him, he ends up in Egypt, said to his wife, make him stay comfortable. Maybe he will profit us, or maybe we shall adopt him as a son. Now imagine the humiliation of standing there and being bought as a slave, knowing that he is a future prophet, knowing that he is a prophet's son, and then to be sold into slavery, and this man saying about him to his wife that, you know, maybe he'll profit us. And Allah says, كَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Thus did we establish Yusuf in the land, that we might teach him the interpretation of events. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah has full power and control over affairs, but most people do not realize. As the saying goes, God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. What was the point of bringing Yusuf alayhi salam to Egypt? We find that at that time Egypt was the center of culture and splendor. Yusuf alayhi salam had been brought up in rural areas. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ultimate purpose was to bring him as a reformer in Egypt. He was going to come there and rectify their culture and rectify their sins. Now for this purpose to be fulfilled, it was essential not that he should come in his youth after having spent his life in the rural areas, but that he should be brought up in Egypt at the hub of all that was happening. See, he's brought up in a minister's house, so he'd be fully acquainted with the weaknesses of the land. Allah is telling us, before we change an environment, before we can change a culture, we need to know the psyche of the people. Knowledge is not just that you gain from books. So Allah says that we might teach him the interpretation of events so that he would have a complete know-how of the way these people thought and acted. And Allah has full power and control over affairs, but most people do not know. In other words, إِنَّمَا عَلُسْرِ يُسْرَىٰ. Indeed, with hardship there is ease. Now anyone else apart from Yusuf alayhi salam would have thought that, what is happening to me? First I'm thrown into a well, then I'm bought as a slave. I don't even know if I'll ever see my father again. But Allah says, Allah has full power over affairs, but most people don't have knowledge. As Allah tells us in the Quran, عَسَىٰ أَمْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Maybe you dislike something and it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَمْ تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. Maybe you love something. وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Although it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, you do not know. That is the message of Surah Yusuf, to teach us not to judge superficially. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Yusuf attained his manhood, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. He is made into a prophet. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Thus do we reward those who do ihsan. Does it seem like a reward to us? He has been parted from his family, thrown into a well, bought into slavery, doesn't see any way out. There seems that no way that he can escape from this servitude. And Allah saying, thus do we reward those who do ihsan, not al-mu'mineen, not even as-sabirin, al-muhsineen. In other words, when we do sabr, when we endure all that Allah has given us with patience, with love and trust in Allah, then we attain the level of muhsineen. And she in whose house he was tried to seduce him. And she closed the doors and said, come here. He said, I seek refuge in Allah. Truly your husband is my master. He made my living in a great comfort. Indeed, the wrongdoers will never be successful. Trial upon trial. Now the wife of the man who employed him is trying to seduce him. Now all these years that Yusuf alayhi salam has spent in that house working for them, Allah doesn't mention what he's been doing. Allah simply says, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. But just imagine how humiliating for a prophet's son, for a prophet himself, to be working, and especially for such an evil woman. And Allah says that when this woman tries to seduce him, what is his instant response? I seek refuge in Allah. Sometimes we think we're so pious that whatever anyone does, it can't affect us. We won't be harmed by their evil. But this is a prophet of Allah saying, A'udhu Billah, I seek refuge in Allah. A very important message that we need Allah's mercy to be protected from sins. And indeed she did desire him, and he would have inclined to her desire, had he not seen the evidence of his Lord. Allah protected him. Thus it was that we might turn away from him evil. Surely he was one of our chosen slaves. So they raced with one another to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back. Now we find that Yusuf alayhi salam is doing active sabr over here. See, sabr is not simply that you passively fold your hands and say whatever Allah wills. This is sabr as well, that he is constant in abstaining from evil. He's running away from her. He's not just sitting there and saying whatever Allah's will is will be done. He's doing something to save himself. They both found her husband at the door. She said, now she's so cunning, immediately she comes up with an excuse. What is the punishment for him who intended an evil design against your wife, except that he be put in prison or a painful torment? Yusuf said, it was she that tried to seduce me. and a witness of a household bore witness, saying, If it be that his shirt is torn from the front, then her tale is true, and he is a liar. But if it be that his shirt is torn from the back, then she has told a lie, and he is speaking the truth. So when her husband saw Yusuf's shirt on the back, her husband said, Surely it is a plot of you women. Certainly mighty is your plot. Now some women erroneously assume that these are Allah's words, and again, you know, discrimination against women. This is actually what that woman's husband was saying. O Yusuf, turn away from this, and O woman, ask forgiveness for your sins. Innaki kunti min al-khati'een. Indeed you were of the sinful. That's all he says to her. And women in the city said, The wife of Al-Aziz is trying to seduce her young man. Indeed, she loves him violently. Indeed, we see her in plain error. You know, women gossiping away about that woman. So when she heard of the accusation, she sent for them and prepared a banquet for them. She gave each one of them a knife, and she said to Yusuf, Come out before them. Then when they saw him, they exalted him at his beauty, and in their astonishment cut their hands. They said, Hashalillah, how perfect is Allah, this is not a man, this is none other than a noble angel. That's how beautiful Yusuf alayhi salam was. She said, This is the young man about whom you did blame me, and I did seek to seduce him, but he refused, and now if he refuses to obey my order, he shall certainly be cast into prison, and will be one of those who are disgraced. Now imagine Yusuf alayhi salam's feelings that he comes out before these women and they start speaking of him as if he is a toy or just an object. And look at the woman's shamelessness, that she says, if he doesn't listen to me, I'm going to throw him into prison. Now again Yusuf alayhi salam shows heroism and says, Rabbi as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. He said, O my Lord, prison is dearer to me than that to which they invite me. Nowadays, we hear people say, Oh, it's so difficult to stay away from sin. When everyone's doing it, how can you remain pure? Look at his fearlessness and courage. Prison is dearer to me than that to which they invite me. And unless you turn away their plot from me, I will feel inclined towards them. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ And I will be one of the ignorant. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ So his Lord answered his dua. And turned away from him their plot. Indeed, he is the all-hearer, the all-knower. And what happened? It occurred to them after they had seen the proofs of his innocence to imprison him for a time. Now, prison is something which anyone, no matter how sinful he is, regards as the ultimate humiliation. So imagine Yusuf alayhi salam's feelings, knowing that he is innocent. Even the people know he's innocent. But despite that, for a prophet to be cast into prison. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ And there entered with him two young men in the prison. One of them said, Indeed, I saw myself in a dream, pressing wine. The other said, Indeed, I saw myself in a dream, carrying bread on my head, and birds were eating thereof. They said, Inform us of the interpretation of this. Indeed, we think you are one of those who do ihsan. Now this is so beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam enters prison. Now again he does sabr, an active form of sabr. He doesn't complain, he doesn't start lamenting or telling people, Do you know who I really am? Do you know who my fathers and forefathers were? No. He bears his trial. And what happens? These men are drawn towards him because of the goodness they see in him. He doesn't start preaching to people instantly. It seems like this happens after some time. He waits for them to come and ask him. In these few verses we find a masterpiece of da'wah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. He waits for them to come and ask him. He doesn't start imposing his views upon them. And they come and they ask him about two dreams that they've seen. He said, لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا He said, No food will come to you in provision, but I will inform you its interpretation before the food comes. Why does he start by speaking of food? To tell them that I'm going to be brief about it. Like some people when they start, they don't stop. I was reading in an article that some people, if you even ask for a drink of water in their house, it invites a boring lecture on the merits of water in Islam. We're not supposed to bore people. The Prophet ﷺ never bored anyone. So he says, don't worry, I'll be brief about it. I will inform you its interpretation before the food comes. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي This is of that which my Lord has taught me. This is the purpose of the Muballigh. Immediately he connects them to Allah. He doesn't get them to start hero-worshipping him and telling them, you know, I have this knowledge and I studied a long time. He says, this is from that which my Lord has taught me. So he turns their attention towards Allah. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ Indeed, I have abandoned the religion of a people that do not believe in Allah and disbelieve in the hereafter. Now, these were the people of Egypt, but he doesn't point any fingers and say, I've abandoned your creed and I don't believe in the nonsense that you people believe in. He says tactfully that I have left the religion of a people that do not believe in Allah and disbelieve in the hereafter. Now, he reminds them of the hereafter as well to make them think about accountability. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي And I have followed the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub. Now again, look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He tells them that he has some authority for saying all this. He's not making this up. He doesn't boast about his lineage. He's not even spoken about it before. You get the feeling that this is the first time he's telling people that these were his honorable ancestors. He says, I have followed the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq and Yaqub. And never could we attribute any partners whatsoever to Allah. Now he brings them to shirk. Now what does he say? ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ This is from the grace of Allah to us and to mankind. In other words, not that it's due to any merit on our part, this is from Allah. And to mankind. In other words, Allah has not just blessed or honored us, He's honored mankind as well. But most people do not give thanks. See how subtly he reminds them of what they should be doing. He doesn't say, you don't give thanks. He says, most people do not give thanks. Ya sahibi as-sijni, O my two companions of the prison, a prophet of Allah, unfairly imprisoned. And he says, O my two companions of the prison, to two common criminals. He puts himself on the same footing as them. He establishes a rapport with them. That is the beauty of da'wah. Ya sahibi as-sijni, O my two companions of the prison. أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَادَقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ After trying the spiritual approach, now he appeals to their logic. Are different gods better? Or Allah, the One, the Supreme? In other words, think about it. If there were a multitude of gods, there would be chaos in the land. You do not worship besides Him, but only names which you have named. You and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. And Muslims too have bestowed these names on different people. Like they've named people, Mushkil Kusha, they've named Bari Imam, they've named Ganj Baksh. All these are names, and these names are Mushrikana in themselves. So Yusuf alayhi salam gently points out to them, these are just names. You have no proof for them, for which Allah has sent down no authority. The command is for none but Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ Now he comes to the essence of the message. He has commanded that you worship none but He. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ That is the straight path. But most of men do not have this knowledge. And that's it. That's all the da'wah he does. He doesn't go on and bore them. He stops at that point. And he answers their query. O my two companions of the prison, as for one of you, he as a servant will pour out wine for his Lord to drink, and as for the other, he will be crucified and birds will eat from his head. Now he gives them the plain unvarnished truth. He doesn't water the truth down for the one who's going to die. One of them was going to be killed and the other one was going to end up serving the king. Thus is the case judged concerning which you both did inquire. And he said to the one whom he knew was going to be saved, mention me to your Lord. But Shaitan made him forget to mention it to the king. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِذَعْ سَنِينَ So Yusuf stayed in prison a few more years. We read بِذَعْ سَنِينَ and we think, oh well, he was a prophet of Allah. It mustn't have been that difficult for him. بِذَعْ means 3 to 9 years. 3 to 9 years of waiting for Allah's will. And the king of Egypt said, indeed I saw in a dream 7 fat cows, whom 7 lean ones were devouring, and 7 green ears of corn, and 7 others dry. O courtiers, explain to me my dream, if it be that you can interpret dreams. Now the time for Yusuf alayhi salam's freedom is coming near. So the king of Egypt sees this dream. They said, mixed up false dreams, and we are not skilled in the interpretation of dreams. Now from the dream of the king we learn that sometimes dreams can bear a significant message. But this is very important, that we need to know if in a dream we see something wrong. For instance, someone sees in a dream that he's being told not to pray anymore. We cannot act upon that dream. Any dream which contradicts the Quran or the Sunnah cannot be taken as a proof that this has come to me from Allah. They said, mixed up false dreams, and we are not skilled in the interpretation of dreams. Then the man who was released now at length remembered and said, I will tell you its interpretation, so send me forth. He said, Yusuf, O Ayyuha Siddiq, O Yusuf, O man of truth, I often wonder whether he felt ashamed of himself, I mean, showing up after 3 to 9 years. And he comes and says, "Oh, Yusuf, man of truth, explain to us the dream of 7 fat cows, whom 7 lean ones were devouring, and of 7 green ears of corn and 7 others dry, that I may return to the people and that they may know." Now let's imagine ourselves in Yusuf alayhi salam's position. How bitter we would feel if someone we'd asked to do something shows up after 7, 9 years, and that too because he wants something from us. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He said, "For 7 consecutive years you shall sow as usual, and the harvest which you reap you shall leave it in the ears, except the little of it which you made." He tells them that they're going to have 7 years of prosperity followed by 7 years of famine. So he warns them to save some food from the years of prosperity. Then after that will come 7 hard years, which will devour what you have laid by in advance for them, except a little of that which you have guarded. Then thereafter will come a year in which people will have abundant rain and in which they will press. Look at his self-control. He even gives them good advice. As one imam once said, "Sabr is swallowing a bitter medicine and not letting it show upon your face." That's Yusuf alayhi salam sabr. And the king said, "Bring him to me." But when the messenger came to him, Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Return to your lord and ask him, what happened to the women who cut their hands? Surely my lord is well aware of their plot." This is the moment's self-control. He doesn't rush out in joy, saying, "At last I've been released." Because he was a prophet of Allah, because his job was to do da'wah, it was imperative that his reputation be restored. So he had to have his name cleared. He says, "No, first go back." Look at his dignity, at his self-control. He says, "Go back and ask your king about the women who cut their hands." The king said to the women, "What was your affair when you did seek to seduce Yusuf?" Now, it was such a corrupt society that people were talking openly about something as shameless as this. The women said, "Allah forbid, we do not know any evil against him." وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ الْآنَ حَصْحَصَ الْحَقِّ. The wife of Al-Aziz said, "Now the truth has become clear. It was I who sought to seduce him, and he is surely of the truthful." And then Yusuf alayhi salam said, "I asked for this inquiry in order that he may know that I did not betray him in his absence." وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And indeed Allah does not guide the plot of the betrayers. He explains that this was my reason for asking for this inquiry, so people should know about my purity.